because it crosses, as you all know, affordable housing policies, state planning policies, Marrickville development controls and so on. So for an ordinary person, it's actually a very, very complex matter to navigate, and we have a lot of concerns about the development, but we've done our best to submit these to the council in a way that's meaningful, and we'd like to thank the council for taking that on board. Our key concerns are really that the design will dominate the views from our rear garden. It's a low density, the area is zoned low density. It'll be visually bulky and intrusive. It's not at all in keeping with the character of the area. But we're particularly concerned about the amount of noise. This is a personal concern. For my husband and myself, all of the communal living areas plus the private open space are all concentrated in a narrow strip that borders our property. In addition, the property, our block is, as you would have seen this morning, our block is shorter than 11 Hunter Street, so the design actually runs the entire length of our block. We also think noise will echo down between the two buildings because they are quite close. We're concerned about smoke drift from the designated communal smoking area. We're quite sensitive to these matters. We think that maybe no one else agrees, but we at least think we have the right to clean air in our own backyard. We're very concerned about the heritage impact we brought into the area because it was in a heritage conservation zone. We appreciate the intrinsic values that brings. We would like to renovate and continue to restore our own property and carefully conserve its heritage properties. It was built in 1878. It is one of the earliest, if not the earliest, property built on this particular block. And look, if the development goes ahead, we just have to consider what we can spend on the property and so on, because I do think it will actually reduce the value of our property. I know these things can be subjective, but I think it probably goes without saying that that would be the case. It's very disappointing from that perspective. We note that in terms of the design of the property, the DA's detail on heritage works, they're very sketchy. It provides very little detail, and there's no works to remediate previous unsympathetic additions such as the enclosed verandas and the shingles on the veranda and so on and so forth. There's a lot there. Parking is another concern. It's very difficult to get parking in this area. There's no provision of car parking in the proposal, and there's no suitable, I've only got a couple more things to say, suitable transport options for mobility impaired residents, because the Lewisham train station is actually inaccessible. And the proposed motorbike parking is actually impractical. It's a very narrow space. It's not actually feasible to push a motorbike from behind. There's previous case law from the Land and Environment Court that actually says that this can be a reason to reject a development application simply because it found that there needs to be space to walk alongside a motorbike for motorbike parking to be reasonable. And look, as a concerned member of the community, I just think it's a poor standard of accommodation, and it doesn't even meet affordability benchmarks, which are typically around 30% of household income. There's not obviously pent-up demand in this area.
We've heard this. We've read it in your objection.
That's all I have to say.
Okay. Yes, read your objection, by the way.
It's just very complex. It's a very complex matter. We have a lot of objections. It's hard to summarise.
Well, don't leave. There might be questions. Any questions?
No questions.
Okay. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair and fellow panel members. As you outlined, I'm a consultant town planner here on behalf of the applicant. As council staff are aware, the previous planner involved with this project unfortunately has passed away since the application is lodged, so we've recently become involved with the project. The aim of this speech is to request the panel to defer its consideration of the item to allow revised plans and associated documentation to be submitted. As outlined in the assessment report before you, this application was lodged in January 2019, a site inspection conducted in March 2019, and a request for further information letter sent on 15th of March and responded to by the previous planner on 26th of March with a refusal report written in July. Council's RFI letter of 15th of March raised concern about the legality of the existing boarding house on the site, the proposed FSR, the internal layout of part of the premises, and the adequacy of the submitted plan of management. The applicant responded to this, as I outlined on the 26th of March, and based on my review of the assessment report, it appears that council staff agree that two of the four issues were satisfactorily addressed, being that an approval exists for a boarding house on the site and that the revised plan of management is satisfactory. On 15th of July 2019, after a lot of chasing about the status of this application, we received an email from Council's Team Leader Development Assessment that advised that a report had been prepared for the consideration of yourselves and that this report recommended refusal of the expanded boarding house on the basis that the expanded building has a floor space ratio of 0.75 to 1, which exceeds the permitted FSR of 0.6 to 1, and further that a Clause 4.6 departure had not been submitted to allow Council or the panel to consider the merits of the FSR departure. Given the above advice, and though I disagree that a Clause 4.6 departure is required, a 4.6 departure was provided to Council on 2nd of August 2019. Subsequent to this, we also submitted to Council yesterday advice from a planning barrister that confirms in his opinion that a Clause 4.6 departure is not required for the proposed FSR. We acknowledge that Council and also yourselves at the panel will not have had the opportunity to remove this information in great detail, though I have been assured from a human that you do have it, so I hope that's correct. Council's assessment report that we reviewed last week has also raised a number of additional issues that we were not aware of, were of concern to Council staff, and were not raised in the one deferral letter we received, including some of the new issues are adequacy of the ecology report to address the impact on the possible long-nosed bandicoot population that may be present in the precinct, desire for an acoustic report to address aircraft noise, potential impact on trees and adjoining properties, desired changes to the front facade of the building to provide a building that is more sympathetic to the heritage conservation area, clarification of finished ground levels around the building, clarification of storage within the rooms, need for additional kitchen space, extent of overshadowing of solar panels at 15 Hunter Street, and some addressing of some draft EPIs. Given that in our minds, as the applicant, the benefits of this proposal include the retention of a boarding house in an area... I've got about two paragraphs to go, if the panel may indulge me.
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. That has experienced a significant reduction in boarding house provision, the provision of two accessible rooms and the provision of an on-site manager. We request that the panel defer the item to allow revised plans and documentation to be submitted that address these deficiencies. We can submit this revised package within 2 to 3 weeks. We have addressed the primary issue of concern, being that the panel has no legal ability to approve the application having regards to the proposed FSR of 0.75 to 1 and are keen to further refine the project to address the new issues of concern outlined in the report before you. I note that in one regard, the proposal is not an overdevelopment of the site, with a proposed site coverage of 43%, that is less than that of the 45% suggested by the Marrickville DCP for the precinct. And in conclusion, thank you for listening. I'd be happy to answer any questions the panel may have.
If the panel decide to defer this matter, is there any likelihood that you could revise the design to make the building more appropriate?
Yes, certainly.
I think it's all the panel's view that the proposed extension is very poor. Visually, it's just a big block of building with a nearly flat roof, and all the elevations, the windows, are just splayed over the elevations randomly. There's no, it's just extremely poor building. In addition, there's some confusion. The elevations say that the walls are lightweight, and yet the plans seem to show masonry walls. So, if we do defer it, are you in a position to revise the designs significantly?
Yes, certainly. We became aware of the concerns of council staff with regards to some of the design issues, and I guess to answer your question, yes, we are prepared to give more than a tokenistic change to the development in order to address the concerns outlined in the report. We're aware it's not a matter of, to put it bluntly, changing gold taps to silver. It's a reconsideration of the internal planning that flows through to the external design of the building to address the what you're potentially saying is the lack of architectural merit of the, in particular, the first floor extension. So.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you, Mr. de la Pierre.
Thank you, Chair.
The panel has received, as you said, the opinion from your barrister, and we would like to examine that in more detail before we come to a final decision on the matter. So the panels will adjourn, I hope not for too long, and then come back and give the decision. Thank you. Thank you. We'll resume the NOS planning panel meeting of the 13th of August 2019 in regard to item 8, I believe it is, and Mr. Stapleton will proceed with it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a proposal to partially demolish an existing building and reconfigure it, involving a new large rear wing and for use as boarding house. The panel have considered the letter submitted by the applicant, by Stephen Berveling, barrister, relating to the 4.6 application and the FSR calculation, and we've decided to defer consideration of this matter until Council can review the contents of that letter, which was only received 9th of August, or dated 9th of August, I don't know when it was received. The panel would like to request the applicant to look carefully at the draft reasons for refusal that are included in the council office report, because a lot of them are not related to the FSR calculation. They relate to other matters that should be addressed. In addition, there's a number of points that the panel have agreed are problems with the design of the building. If you could put those up, please. They're there at the bottom of this screen. The panel thought the bulk and scale of the addition was not sympathetic to the surrounding conservation area, that the near flat roof design is awkwardly resolved, and also, as above, not sympathetic to the surrounding heritage conservation area. I'm sorry, the microphone wasn't on. The composition of the facades of the proposed addition appear entirely random and are undistinguished. There's a lack of clarity about the external wall construction. There's a lack of resolution of the junction between the existing rear wing and the proposed addition. The drawing is in fact wrong, showing a hipped roof at the rear of the existing building where it's actually a gable. The width of the proposed wing is slightly wider than the existing back wing, so there's a difficult junction there that's not been properly addressed. In addition, we would ask that the applicant take note of the submissions made by the neighbours this afternoon, for instance the motorbike noise, but other matters they raised. So, Mr. Chairman, if you'd like, we can propose the resolution to defer the matter.
Yes, thank you. I notice on the list before us on the screen, you haven't included that the draft reasons for refusal should also be addressed by the applicant in any amended submissions to council. Thank you. Should be addressed in any further submissions to council. Thank you. Is the panel happy to vote on that deferral?
Mr. Chairman, I also mention the submissions by the neighbours.
Okay. Can you add that as a dot point? And public submissions also to be considered. Okay. Panel happy with that?
Agreed to defer.
Okay. Ms.
Yes, I agree with the reasons.
Thank you,
Mr. For the deferral, and it's for the reasons.
Thank you.
Yes, I agree.
I agree too. So the decision is unanimous. And we can now proceed to item 8, which is DA 2019-00065, 40 Old Canterbury Road, Lewisham, to construct a two-storey boarding house with associated car parking and landscaping. Now I have two speakers listed here, Adele Cowie. And is that correct?
Yep.
And Anthony Charbel. They both here? Okay. Well, Adele Cowie, you're first on my list.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yes. Have you got the microphone on?
I have. Can you hear me?
Yes.
My name is Adele Cowie. I reside at 14 Barker Street, Lewisham. Just to the west of the subject site, and in the interests of full disclosure, I am here because I'm team leader of advisory services at Leichhardt Council, or former Leichhardt Council in a West Council, just so that that's fully understood by the panel today. I'll keep it brief. I am now happy with the amended design, which has been reported to the panel by council staff, and I support the recommendation and the conditions which accompany that recommendation. So I'm happy to reserve any further comment and only would add that I'd like to address the panel if and only if it is proposed to amend the design further or to alter or delete those conditions of recommended approval.
All right. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you.
No.
Thank you. No questions. Now, Anthony Charbel, you're for the applicant. Would you like to come forward? Thank you. If you'd identify yourself.
Good afternoon. Anthony Charbel from Blueprint Designs. We are the applicant and also the building designers for the project. And we registered today just to address any of the objections or address any conditions. Oh, sorry, any questions from the panel members?
You've submitted a plan of management.
Yes.
It's not attributed or dated. Who's the author?
That was provided by our town planner, Rhonda from Rockman Planning.
Rhonda.
Rhonda, yes.
I probably need a last name.
Gemelieu.
Oh.
The planning firm?
Rockman Planning.
Rockman Planning.
Rockman Planning. Okay.
Rokeman.
Okay. Any questions from the panel?
No. From me?
No. Mr. Stapleton?
Yes.
Having looked at your elevations, my opinion is that the design is an overtly modern design. And my view is that it's not consistent with the design of the area, which is predominantly Federation houses and smaller, more nondescript 9th century single-storey, very small cottages. Would you like to comment on that?
So we went through the process with the council. We did a pre-DA with the council where we had a more modern design, flat roof, panelling, following the boundaries, which were faceted. And then we were advised that the character didn't match, or under the character assessment, that we needed to revise the design. So what we decided to do was to break up the northern elevation into pavilions or terraces and have a little bit of attribute the roof pitch or the pitch design, which we had a lot sharper. So we picked up the, I think it's 25 to 27 degree roof pitch originally. We were told to lower that, so we did that. We've gotten rid of a lot of the more modern materials, and we've gone back to the face brick. On the front elevation, we have a single story element which matches up with the neighbouring property number 42, and then we step up as we wrap the building around. We've applied all the setbacks that you see in the pattern in the area. We have a 1200 setback from the secondary street. The front alignment aligns with the neighbouring property, and on the rear setback, or the side setback, we have a 1500 setback. We've also been asked to set the building in a little bit further from the rear to align with the neighbouring properties, so we've done that. And since then, we haven't been advised that we are out of character with the area from council staff at all.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I might comment on that. I think I took a different view, perhaps to Mr. Stapleton, in that whilst I appreciate that the building is of modern design, this isn't heritage conservation area, as I understand it, and there is a mix of old and new building styles, some two-storey terrace house styles that appear to be quite new, and other single-storey older houses from various periods. I appreciate that anybody building on this small site is likely to want a two-storey building, and that's what this proposal is. It's quite a small boarding house by comparison with others we've seen. It's on a difficult site on a very busy corner with very little on-street parking nearby, and I noticed that the design does provide the maximum car parking required under the Affordable Housing Act, and also provides for bicycle and I think maybe limited motorbike parking, but certainly adequate bicycle. And it's broken up into four elements that are somewhat reflective of separate terrace house styles, at least in character. And I see that as fitting in with the other two-storey older terrace houses, at least in terms of proportions in the locality. So it's not really a question that I have for you, but I think that's my opinion of how you've designed it. Do any other of the panel members have comments or questions?
No.
No?
I don't share the concerns of Mr. Stapleton in terms of design.
Mm-hmm. In regard to the question about the plan of management, I would want that to be included in condition one, which lists the various drawings and other documents submitted with the application. Okay, I take it you'd have no objection to that?
No.
All right. Does the panel want me to read the recommendation?
Sorry, you were just going to say...
Have that amended to be put on a title block under the planner and have that sent back in if necessary.
All right. Okay. Anything else? Anything else? Okay. The panel's conclusion is more or less in accordance with the majority of the panel's conclusions are in accordance with the council report, in the development complies with the aims, objectives and design parameters contained in the State Environmental Planning Policy, Vegetation in Non-Rural Areas, 2017, State Environmental Planning Policy, Affordable Rental Housing, 2009, State Environmental Planning Policy, Infrastructure, 2007, State Environmental Planning Policy, Building Sustainability Index, Basics, 2004, and Marrickville Local Environmental Plan, 2011. The proposal is generally consistent with Marrickville Development Control Plan, 2011, and the development will not result in any significant impacts on the amenity of adjoining premises and the streetscape. The applicant is suitable for approval subject to conditions, and the recommendation is A, that the Inner West Local Planning Panel, exercising the functions of the council as the consent authority pursuant to section 4.16 of the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act 1979, grant consent to DA number 2019-00065 to erect a two-storey boarding house with associated car park and landscaping at 40 Old Canterbury Road, Lewisham, subject to the conditions listed in attachment A below, with the addition to the table in condition one to include the plan of management prepared by Rockman Planning in that table as part of the consent documents. Can I ask the panel to vote?
Yes, Mr. I vote in favour.
I vote in favour.
I vote in favour.
And I dissent, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Your dissent will be noted. As listed, that pursuant to Clause 30, capital A of SEPP ARH 2009, the proposal is not consistent with the design of the area. So the vote is 3-1, majority in favour. Thank you. That concludes item 8. And we go to item 9, which is the last matter on the agenda. And it is DA 2019-00034, 96-98 May Street, St. Peter's, to demolish existing improvements and construct a four-storey boarding house with basement parking. Now, I have some persons listed to speak at the meeting. There's an A.K. Otterson, an Alan Price and a Lewis Adey, I think you pronounce that.
Adey.
Mr. Adey is for the applicant. Could I ask if A.K. Otterson is here? Oh, would you like to come forward? I beg pardon?
I'm also registered to speak.
You are? Oh, are you?
Sorry, what was your name again?
Kathy
Hughes. Yes, Kathy.
Kathy, where is that? No, I don't think we have you. But how about A.K. Otterson? Are they here? Well, come forward. We'll take the ones. We'll do it one at a time. Sorry? Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Yes, if you'd identify yourself, please.
I'll just get you to press the button too. Thank you.
And yes, bring the microphone down to your mouth too. Thank you.
Yes, I'm A.K. Otterson of 94 May Street. I'm the immediate neighbour of the proposed development on its eastern side. And I've lived there for 31 years. Now, I'd like to hand up some highlighted extracts from the Land and Environment Court decision in this matter, if I may.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Officer, could you get that, please?
I think there's enough. There's four copies. Now, in November last year, the Land and Environment Court comprehensively rejected what is in substance the same proposed development. The court refused leave to the applicant to amend its application because the court was satisfied that the development was inconsistent with the current and desired future character of the locality. A large number of reasons were given for this finding, which included that a four-storey building was contrary to the planning controls, was out of character with the existing building form on May Street, and resulted in unreasonable visual bulk and scale to my house, 94 May Street, and the properties to the rear of the site. There was no appeal against this decision. Yet within a month of that decision, the current application was lodged to do much the same development rejected by the court. It is still a four-storey building which is contrary to the planning controls. It is out of character with the existing building form on May Street, and it will result in unreasonable visual bulk and scale to my house, 94 May Street. The proposed boarding house has been shown in a CGI format removed from its true local context. The assessment report is not accurate as to the court's decision. It is simply adopted some reasons of the court which were put forward by the applicant and then only made its assessment in terms of those limited reasons. Those limited reasons just related specifically to Hutchinson Street. Therefore, any proper assessment of this application should have resulted in a recommendation that consent be rejected by reason alone because of the court's decision. If the panel relies on the report, it will be acting contrary to a clear and considered decision of the court. Moreover, Chair, some documents lodged with the application related to the first application and were not addressing the current application at all. For example, the fire safety report. For that reason too, this application should not have been recommended for consent. In addition, the application is being used for an improper purpose, namely to obtain possession of land which has gone with 94 May Street for over 55 years and with me for 30 years, with substantial damage to my property. May I continue?
Yes. How much more have you got?
Oh, not much more.
All right.
This was covered extensively in my objections. I draw your attention to Plan A3, DA03. My side passage runs straight between the warehouse and my house. Now it's shown as narrowing, so it appears that the building is being built closer to my house, which would result in even more unreasonable visual bulk and scale to my house, as well as destroying my front fence and perhaps part of my pergola and deck. The applicant may or may not be taking the old toilet area, it's not clear. There are other problems with the application. For example, CGI has been used, which hides the substantial overshadowing of my house, and my house is not even mentioned in this regard in the report to the panel. There will be acoustic noise from large numbers of people coming and going and living in close proximity to me. There is the lack of visual privacy. The tall wall of the warehouse has provided a lot of visual privacy for over 30 years. Excavations for a basement car park will be taking place very close to my property with the risk of damage to my property. During any excavation, I would have no access to my side passage at all and to part of my property. In conclusion, the assessment report is not accurate on important matters such as the court's real decision and does not address important objections. The panel should not grant consent to this application. Thank you.
Questions from the panel? We were on your site today,
yes,
and we observed the matters that you're referring to.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, could I just confirm that you're on the that you have the property to the east of the subject site?
That's correct.
And we talked about the kink or the bulge in the boundary.
Yes.
At the bottom corner.
That's right. Where my old outside toilet
is. I don't understand your question would block your side passage. Where's that running? You said the development would block the side passage.
Yes, my side passage. Where's that? That was the side passage that you walked up when I opened the gate, and you walked up the side passage between my house and the warehouse wall, which is...
But that's your land. They can't use that without your permission.
Well, if you look at the way in which that plan is being set up, they are showing it as narrowing. Whereas my side passage is completely straight.
Oh, you mean they're building on the boundary?
Yeah. Oh, no, I think they are building beyond where it is currently.
Yes, that might be true.
Yes. And it's land that has always been with 94 May Street
they're
for 55
not,
years.
From the plans we've got, they're not building, making their wall follow the bulge. The bulge is still on your side. Isn't that correct?
Are you talking about the bottom of the
bulge? I'm talking about the front part of the house.
Yes, you're talking about the walk-in from the street.
That's right.
You're saying that passageway would get blocked.
That passageway appears in the plans.
No, but Mr. Chairman, I've moved on to the far corner, mm-hmm. where the privy used to be.
Yes.
The boundary does a very strange...
it does.
...kink.
It has a strange
but
kink.
But the development is not following the boundary there. It's cut that off and leaves that land inside your property.
Right, okay. Yes. I accept that. But what they seem to have been, what they seem to be doing, though, is taking land from my side passage. My side passage is straight from the front.
Yes, I understand that the current wall may not be on the boundary.
That's right.
But most people are entitled to build entitled to build within their land.
Yes, they are, but claims can arise in relation to that land. And I put those historical plans as part of my objections, which show that that land has been the status quo for over 55 years.
Okay, thank you for that.
Thank you.
In relation to the wall,
yes.
There's a note on the plan that the new wall will be is proposed to be 2.1 high. That's 7 feet. Are you happy with that, or would you prefer it higher or lower?
I would prefer it higher. I like the height of the wall as it stands now.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Can I just clarify that? You're saying, in effect, that the wall that's there now is a party wall. Have you had it surveyed?
No, I haven't, not in recent years. But what I did put on part of my objections, I showed a 1974 survey which had the old toilet attached, and part of the brick wall was a party wall.
All the way along to the street?
Not all
the
along.
Toilet?
It didn't say it all along, but for the old toilet it showed that the brick wall was a party wall.
All right. Well, they're not going to... According to the plan, they're not taking that.
Right.
They're actually stepping inside their land. But when you say your passageway is going to be narrowed...
Yes.
I take it from what you said that you are not contending that it's a party wall all the way to the street.
I'm not contending it's a party wall. I can't contend that. What I'm contending is that is an area that has always been enjoyed by 94 May Street for over 55 years.
Well, so long as it is within the boundary of the property next door to you, why would you think that it's going to block the passageway if it's replaced?
Because they are moving. It appears they're moving the building beyond where the current warehouse is.
Oh, well, I don't understand that from the plans.
We don't have a server. We don't know where the existing building is.
I'll show you. If you look at plan A3, DA03, as I said, my side passage runs straight
Well, that's running straight.
Between the warehouse and my house. But they're showing the building isn't running straight anymore. It's encroaching. That's perhaps not the right word.
I think we understand.
Yes.
But I think also that your neighbour's entitled to build on their land.
Yeah.
It's a legal matter whether or not, because it's been within your property for so long that it should belong to you. That's entirely legal matter, which you should consult your solicitors about.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, any other questions? No, thank you. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, Cathy Hughes, I understand you are registered, it just didn't show up on our page. All right, the next one I have listed is Alan Price.
Mr. Chairman, this Land Environment Court case is not reported in the history.
Right, okay. Okay.
Good afternoon, Council. My name's Alan Price. I'm the owner of 100 B May Street, St Peter's. Firstly, I support the previous speaker's complaints, I guess. My concerns relate to not necessarily impact on my property, but such things as is the floor space ratio still compliant with the current regulations for this development? Is the parking situation, is it adequate for the number of residences proposed? And, you know, with the street as it is, there's an overflow of traffic and a very much oversubscribed parking problem. Mm-hmm. And in the event that there are more cars required or used in that area, is with the underground parking that's going to be proposed, is that going to have a sump situation, pump out for the groundwater? And is that going to be flowing onto May Street, as is already happening from one of the properties further up the street, or two of the properties further up the street, recent developments that pump out constantly? Will the council...
I didn't catch that. You're saying new developments up the street pump out constantly from there.
Constantly. There is a flow of water down that side of May Street, absolutely constantly, and it floods every 10 to 20 minutes from the pumps. And I have written to the council about it and suggested that there might be a problem with it, because the groundwater, having not rained for weeks and weeks, it's still pumping out. So somewhere the water is coming from. So,
all right, thank you.
I haven't had any response other than they say it's groundwater being pumped out. But, will the council be making the pedestrian or the crossing safer? Because at the moment there's just an island there, and the road narrows due to that. And with the increased foot traffic plus motor vehicle traffic, especially with the WestConnex, has the council proposed or considered a pedestrian crossing there? And with that in mind, what provisions are being made during the construction for construction vehicles, parking on the street, employees, etc., as there's very limited parking and there's no stopping signs outside the property as well already. So, and with the boarding house proposal, which there seems to be a glut of them at the moment, there's the notion that there's a permanent manager installed. Is that policed by the council or guaranteed by the council that that will be approved or appropriate, or is there, being boarding houses, approvals, they can sometimes veer off the design of that development and
That's a matter for
policing.
Yes.
Yeah, but
yes. It's a condition of consent, the council can enforce it.
Okay. All right.
The bill's gone. Have you got it much more?
Nothing. That's fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Thank you.
And then, Cathy Hughes, I think we come to you. Now, you're at the rear of the subject site, aren't you?
Yeah, that's correct.
And we went to your property and the one next door.
That's correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good. My name's Catherine Hughes and I'm a resident of Hutchinson Street, number 65. I'm speaking on behalf of the people at number 69 also, who are away at the moment. Three houses back onto this property, which is proposed. These three houses are designated as character housing under the local environment plan of 2011. In other words, our houses are not subject to development. We already suffer from the extra storey to the block of flats opposite of us in Hutchinson Street, where an extra storey was granted by the previous council, and thus the rear half of our gardens is overlooked quite severely. The proposed development will mean the overlooking and the overshadowing of the total extent of our back gardens, including the back rooms of our houses and the back entrances. I suffer in particular at number 65 owing to a bank of lights which is on 24/7 in the previously mentioned block of flats opposite me, which means that the front room of my house is virtually unusable. The brick wall at the end of our properties is a part of their character, their designated character. We don't see why this wall can't be maintained, even at a reduced height. You remember from this morning my suggestion of, was it 7 metres I suggested? And I said, I think in feet because I'm an old lady. 7 feet I was thinking of. We don't see why that can't be maintained, even if at a reduced height, especially since the side brick walls, from what I could make of the plans, appear to be being maintained. This wall would also ensure the security of our houses, which is severely compromised by the proposed development, not only from the streets, May Street, but also perhaps from people on the 30, there are 30 residences on that block that back onto our back garden, and the proposed fence is, I think, a colour bond fence of 6 feet or something like that. So security is important to us. And it's also important as a barrier to the building work that's going to be taking place there, which is obviously going to severely affect our houses in noise and also possible subsidence with the underground. Interesting what the last speaker had to say about the runoff. We also get runoff in Hutchinson Street from a block further up the street. We need to ensure that the rear of the gardens is not overlooked by windows, which cause light and noise pollution, and to ensure that, as under the local environment plan, the gap of 9 metres between the rear of our back gardens and the actual new building itself is a deep soil area planted with mature trees under the LEP and not a lawn with shrubs, which is what appears on the plan. I've got 1 minute to go. Finally, this has already been to the Land and Environment Court, and the Commissioner there rejected the previous proposal on technical grounds, but in the summing up also made it very plain that this type of development, i.e. a boarding house, with a great intensification of site usage, is not suitable in the circumstances. Thank you.
Thank you. Just before you leave, through you, Mr. Chair,
yes.
I know you've mentioned a couple of times the colour bond fence at the back.
Yes.
What the plans actually say is existing masonry walls to be lowered to 2.1 metres high fence. So it's saying it's the existing wall that's
Are
at
you
the
sure
back.
That's not the side walls?
No, I am actually directly looking at the plan right here, showing that. Compared to 94 May Street, where it's this new 2.1 metre high fence, but you're saying you would like that higher in any event.
Yes.
I take that on board.
Yes.
But I just want you to know that's what's on the plan. Yeah.
Can I ask, are you confident that you speak for the owner of number 69 when you say you would like the wall higher?
Yes. They want to retain the wall at the height it is now.
Thank you.
Now, we have also, I think, for the applicant, Lewis Adey. Mr. Adey, thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Panel, identify yourself, please.
My name's Lewis Adey, town planner, A Square Planning, representing the applicant, Mr. Kent Greaves, who is also present today. I don't have much to say. We're just here to... Thank staff for the officer's recommendation. We've worked closely with staff to get this application recommended for approval, given the history. There was an appeal last year. The Land and Environment Court appeal based around one issue, really, and that was the impact of the development to the rear properties in Hutchinson Street, the transition. And that was actually addressed in the hearing, but we weren't given leave to submit these amended plans at the time of the hearing. So these plans were actually discussed and agreed between myself and Council's consultant planner, Gary Chapman, at the time. So what this application is simply putting in what we couldn't put into the Land Environment Court, and that's why we're happy today to have a recommendation for approval. We have no concerns with the conditions. I'd like to confirm, that because of the concerns of the residents behind, we agreed to keep the wall at 2.1. It's over 3 metres at the moment. Obviously, that impacts on their overshadowing. It's a residential situation. Normally, you'd anticipate a 1.8 metre high fence. But we're agreeing to build or to keep the masonry wall on the rear and to the west side, and to build a new masonry wall on the boundary on the east side. That can be conditioned as the panel sees fit. I don't think my client would have a major concern, but it is a bit unusual given it's simply a residential backyards, adjoining residential backyards. But
can you shed any light on Ms. Otterson's claim about her side passageway being narrowed?
I can only imagine she's referring perhaps to the fact that the existing warehouse, as I think you pointed out, is not necessarily built to the boundary. So she's been utilising part of our site for many years, it would appear, because there's no fence between the wall of the warehouse and then her land. So if there's a discrepancy of a few... Probably a few.
Is it a very big discrepancy?
I don't believe it is at the front.
It's
a big
discrepancy
at the rear. It's about a metre at the rear. But at the front, I don't think it's a big discrepancy.
Have you seen a survey plan?
I don't have the survey plan with me. Yes, the survey plan has obviously been submitted with the application.
Is it on the site analysis plan?
Sorry?
Is the site analysis plan based on the survey?
Yes.
It's probably 400 million.
Right. Okay. All right.
So,
any other questions? No. All right. Do you still want to adjourn?
Yeah. Oh, one more question. A note on the back elevation, the frosted glass is noted at coming up to 1.4 above ground floor level. Is there any reason for that you're aware of? If you want to look at elevation.
In the rear elevation.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a privacy issue. We did originally have balconies.
Drawing DA08B. You've got a note saying fixed translucent glass to 1.4.
I'm told that was at the request of Council's planner.
Yeah.
Right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. It's just raised another question in my mind. The use of the word translucent, what do you mean by that? Do you mean frosted glass?
Do you want to say opaque or frosted? It's always a...
Well, I wouldn't want to say opaque because that means no light goes through it at all, but clear glass is translucent. So it concerns me that it doesn't say obscured or frosted glass.
I think frosted would frosted. Probably be a better term, and okay. Maybe that could be a condition.
All right, thank you. Now, yeah.
To adjourn briefly.
Yep. Okay.
Adjourn, yeah.
Yep. The panel's decided to adjourn briefly to consider what's been put to us. Thank you. Where is that?